McGraw-Hill Ascent Audio presents Rituals Roadmap, The Human Way to Transform Everyday Routines into Workplace Magic by Erica Keswin. Narrated by Erica Keswin.
Preface: Rituals During COVID-19. It was the evening of May 18th. I had been quarantining in Connecticut for 2 months and 5 days with my family. My daughter Julie and I returned to New York City for one night to pick up some spring clothes. I was standing in my office, which overlooks West End Avenue, when the clock struck 7 p.m. Like clockwork, people of all ages opened their windows, banged pots and pans, and shouted at the top of their lungs. Julia and I joined in as I caught the eye of someone in the building across the street, and we both smiled. Even in the face of so much death and uncertainty, this ritual transformed my day, and the day of so many others, into magic. But how? First, we felt a strong sense of belonging, and like we were all part of the collective. We're New Yorkers, after all. At 7 p.m., we could hear it, see it, and feel it. We also felt a sense of purpose. At 7 p.m., we had one job: to pause and thank the healthcare workers for putting themselves at risk to save us. We cheered them on to keep on going so that together we could win the war on this pandemic. In those moments, Julia and I were transported out of our own lives and connected to something bigger. I don't think I will ever think about 7 p.m. the same way again. That's the magic of rituals. 6 weeks prior, on March 30th, I had turned in the manuscript for this book, Rituals Roadmap, to my editor at McGraw-Hill. I had been quarantined with my family for a little over 2 weeks. I wondered what it would all mean for my book as the world had been turned upside down overnight. As I reached out to clients, leaders at companies of all sizes, friends and family to connect about what had quickly become our new normal, people started talking to me about how they were turning to their rituals to support themselves and each other during these uncertain times. And I realized, so was I. While some of the companies in this book have gone through changes to their businesses in the months since the manuscript was completed, and some of the numbers have changed, the concepts and the ideas you are about to explore are more relevant than ever. As the pandemic continued and we remained quarantined into June, I decided to add a new chapter to the book called Rituals in Turbulent Times to include as an addendum. In this chapter, I highlight companies that have maintained their rituals in the face of COVID-19 or created new ones. I will also share some important lessons that we can carry with us into a post-COVID world. Whether employees work remotely, in an office, or somewhere in between, I'm more convinced than ever that even the simplest of rituals are the human way to transform everyday routines into workplace, even worldwide, magic. And while I can't know what the state of the world will be in January 2021 when this book hits the shelves, I can confidently say that as of this day in June of 2020, as I write this new preface, our world has never needed that magic more. Introduction: Don't Stop Believin', A Business Case for Rituals. When I was doing the research for my first book, Bring Your Human to Work, I came across a research study that changed my life. Professor Kevin Niffen, an organizational psychologist at Cornell University, wanted to understand what made some teams more productive than others. His father was a firefighter, so that's who he studied. Those were his people. His research found that the firefighters most devoted to the long-standing tradition of making and sharing the firehouse meal, usually something cozy like spaghetti and meatballs, outperformed those who didn't. And it was the relationships they formed and strengthened around the table that made all the difference. And when we're talking about firefighters' performance, remember, we're talking about saving lives. I could hardly believe it. A plate of pasta is literally a matter of life and death. I was so intrigued by this research, I had to learn more. I reached out to Professor Niffen, interviewed firefighters, and it wasn't long before I became a true believer. Eventually, I even started my own business, The Spaghetti Project, paying homage to the firefighters' classic meal. I created an intentional communal ritual for companies and organizations because, well, left to our own devices, excuse the cheesy pun, it was clear to me that we're just not connecting. I took it upon myself to make connections happen by sitting down with people and letting the oxytocin, our feel-good hormone, flow. Every month for the past 4 years, I've been hosting a spaghetti project for a group of people with a common interest. Sometimes we'll meet at an office, sometimes in a coffee shop, and sometimes in a living room. What I've found is that good things happen when people connect. And while spaghetti and meatballs are definitely conversation starters, more and more I've realized it's the ritual of it all that really counts. It's the ritual that transforms a plate of pasta into life-saving magic. So what exactly is a ritual? Is every meal a ritual? Not really. So then what's the difference between a habit, a routine, a ritual, and a rule? These are some of the questions I've been exploring, and I'm excited to share some of the answers with you in this book. We tend to think of rituals as things we do to punctuate important life experiences, like baby showers, bar mitzvahs, weddings, and funerals. We also know that rituals are often repeated, like saying grace at a meal or meditating in the morning. But rituals don't need to be reserved for big milestones, and just doing something again and again does not a ritual make. The transformational power of rituals lies in both our intention and how these activities make us feel. As a group of scholars you'll meet soon put it, rituals are rituals because they mean something to the people enacting them. Rituals are purposeful. Rituals are personal. Because rituals are inherently personal, the very idea of rituals at work might strike you as odd. Allow me to explain. We know there are lots of things we do again and again at work, ad infinitum even. But we don't normally associate these things with anything remotely magical. Take meetings, for instance. We all have meetings every single Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you get the picture. But they don't usually feel like something we're doing with much intention. How about a company happy hour? Maybe that's a ritual. For some, perhaps, while for others, it's simply a chore. How about your team's lunchtime gatherings? Do they mean something to the group, or is it just something that you do? What about the company holiday party? Orientation. Milestones. Awards and recognition. Promotions, feedback, end-of-day reflections. Remember smoke breaks? Of course you don't. Well, when people used to step outside for a cigarette, it was very ritualized. It happened at a certain time, in a certain place, and with a certain crew. Smoking is bad for our health, obviously, but loneliness is just as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Stepping out for a smoke was a ritual that created a deeply personal feeling of belonging. What have we done to replace it? I'm concerned that we haven't done enough to help us feel like we're part of something, something bigger than ourselves, more meaningful than our Instagram feed or our list of to-dos. As you listen on, consider your own life at work and what calls out to you as something you do that gives you a sense of purpose, whether it's a collective experience or something you do personally. What makes you feel like you belong? And think about this nugget of wisdom from Maria Popova, founder of the popular website Brain Pickings. Though very different in practice, routine and ritual seem to be sides of the same coin. The structure of routine comforts us, and the specialness of ritual vitalizes us. Vitalizes? Really? Can rituals really vitalize us? You bet they can. Rituals are that powerful. Rituals are, in a word, magic. The science behind the magic of rituals. Imagine being ushered into a room set up with a karaoke machine. An experimenter hands you the mic and says, "Sing into this microphone." The lyrics will appear across the bottom of the screen. You'll probably feel ridiculous as you awkwardly sing along to none other than Journey's famous anthem, one of the most downloaded songs in iTunes history, "Don't Stop Believin'." To make matters weirder, a stranger, the experimenter, sits in front of you and watches. Your face is hot, your voice shakes. Why are you doing this? You actually don't believe it. Afterward, you receive a score. You get $5 if you are deemed accurate. In this study, published by an esteemed group of Ivy League organizational psychologists in 2016, researchers concluded that rituals actually improve performance in public and private performance domains by decreasing anxiety. They discovered this by giving two groups of people the same stressful task, singing in public, but under two different conditions. Before this group of 85 students was led into their private singing chamber, they were split into two groups. Each person in the first group was told to perform a ritual. Draw a picture of how you are feeling right now. Sprinkle salt on your drawing. Count to five out loud. Crinkle up your paper. Throw your paper in the trash. Everyone in the second group was told to sit quietly for 1 minute. Guess who sang more accurately and won more money? Yep, the ritual group was more accurate and $5 richer. Why? Because the researchers believed they were less anxious. To further back their data, they also tracked the singers' heart rates. While everyone's heart rate spiked when told they would have to sing in front of a stranger, the ritual group had an easier time bringing their heart rates back to normal compared to those instructed merely to calm down. In another version of the study, performing a ritual boosted math performance. Clearly, something important is happening with even the simplest of rituals. So what exactly is a ritual from a scientific standpoint, and how is it defined? The authors of the aforementioned study define ritual as a predefined sequence of symbolic actions, often characterized by formality and repetition, that lacks direct instrumental purpose. What does it mean for something to lack instrumental purpose? Put simply, as much as rituals ease our anxiety and up our game, rituals don't always make much sense. Unlike a routine, which is conducted with the goal of preparing for something, a ritual is performed without the specific goal of preparation in mind. Researchers in the Ivy League study illustrate the distinction with athletic warm-ups, explaining that each step in the routine is functionally linked to preparing an athlete to perform at their best. For example, stretching muscles to improve flexibility. In contrast, a warm-up ritual may involve some of the same steps with the same goal, but it is composed of steps that are not logically necessary for preparation, such as bouncing a basketball exactly 3 times or conducting certain steps in a particular fixed sequence. To be considered a ritual, at least some, though not necessarily all, of the constituent behaviors must be non-instrumental. Another example of this distinction is an artist or a surgeon preparing her tools. You can't very well paint or perform surgery without your brushes and scalpels. Whether or not tool preparation is a ritualized activity depends on if it is composed of steps that are not logically necessary, meaning the tools are laid out in a particular order, smallest to largest, for instance, with a certain rhythm, which induces a state of mind which is carried over into the art or the healing. This is what makes rituals kind of magical. Rituals work, but they also play, and we could all use more of that. The business case for rituals at work. Technology has changed almost everything about the world of work as we know it. We're able to work anywhere, anytime. We're abandoning the traditional office. We're transient and we're in a constant state of on duty, battling our inbox and notifications, trying to hang on to our most valuable asset, our attention. It's the Wild West. We feel like this technology has been around forever, but the first iPhone was released in 2007. So as I'm writing this very sentence, the most important invention that changed everything about our lives is just 13 years old, a very young teenager. Need I say more? In the midst of all this hyperconnection, as former Surgeon General under Obama, Dr. Vivek Murthy, has been telling us, one of the biggest health risks facing our country is... no, not smoking. Not secondhand smoke. and not even sitting, but rather loneliness and isolation. In other words, as I mentioned earlier, left to our own devices, we're just not connecting. And it's hurting us and our businesses. Our engagement levels are abysmally low. Gallup found that in 2019, based on a random sample of 4,700 full and part-time U.S. employees working for an employer from January to August 2019, 35% of employees are engaged. Just 35 out of 100 workers are into what they're doing. And the crazy thing is that's a record high since they started tracking in 2000. Of course we want that percentage to be so much higher. That's why in my first book, I made a case for the human workplace, which really boils down to the fact that honoring relationships leads to more engagement. Bringing our human to work is not just good for people, but great for business and just might change the world. And here's the thing. Rituals, I've found, are the tools of the human workplace. In fact, they are elemental to our lives. According to scholars across disciplines, rituals are a psychologically prepared, culturally inherited, behavioral trademark of our species. Scientists say that one of the reasons we humans love rituals is to maintain group cohesion. In this world of disparate connection, rituals come to the rescue. But don't worry, this is not some snake oil sales pitch. In fact, there's nothing to buy. Not only are rituals just something humans do, they're also great for the bottom line, because most don't cost a penny. The investment required to blend rituals into our work life is psychological, emotional, and strategic, but it's not necessarily financial. The cost of most rituals is minimal, but their value is priceless, and the impact is significant. More connection, improved cooperation, social cohesion, and perceived social support, higher productivity through regulation of top-down and bottom-up psychosocial processing in our brains, better engagement, and a decrease in anxiety and stress. In other words, a positive work culture. According to researchers Emma Seppala, faculty director of the Women's Leadership Program at the Yale School of Management and science director of Stanford University's Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education, and Kim Cameron, William Russell Kelly Professor of Management and Organizations at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, and the author of Positive Leadership and Practicing Positive Leadership, in a positive, engaged workforce, people get sick less often, recover twice as fast from surgery, experience less depression, learn faster and remember longer, tolerate pain and discomfort better, display more mental acuity, and perform better on the job. Plus, for those with poor social relationships, their probability of dying early is 70% higher than those with stronger connections. This might sound dramatic, but as a point of comparison, Sarah Pressman, an associate professor of psychological science at the University of California, Irvine, found that toxic, stress-filled workplaces affect social relationships and, consequently, life expectancy. In case this all sounds expensive, the opposite is actually true. Seppala and Cameron maintain that having a positive work culture is incredibly cost-effective. The American Psychological Association estimates that more than $500 billion is siphoned off from the U.S. economy because of workplace stress, and 550 million workdays are lost each year due to stress on the job. Furthermore, 60% to 80% of workplace accidents are attributed to stress, and it's estimated that more than 80% of doctor visits are due to stress. Workplace stress has been linked to health problems, ranging from metabolic syndrome to cardiovascular disease and mortality. From a bottom-line point of view, the value of rituals at work is without question. But maybe even with all these bottom-line numbers about engagement and culture, you still think rituals are a little soft. You're just not convinced that rituals can really move the needle on the employee experience. I accept your challenge. I invite you to think of a time when you were in a highly ritualized space, but didn't know the rules, when you perhaps blushed with embarrassment and discomfort. Visiting a friend's church or, say, your first fancy, confusing multi-fork dinner. A leader at Twitter shared a story with me about the time she arrived at her prestigious business school, and somehow everyone else had gotten the memo that they were supposed to applaud at specific times. She felt so lost and out of sync that she actually felt like leaving the program. Is this how we'd ever want people on our teams to feel? Awkward, out of step, afraid of doing the wrong thing, dying to get out of there? Especially on their first day on the job? Of course not. It's widely accepted that friendship and personal connections are necessary ingredients for a successful workplace. Don't we want our new employees to feel like they're in the right place instead of like a hockey player at a cotillion? And the same goes for people of color, women, and LGBTQ folks. Study after study show that in order for people to be their best, most engaged selves at work, they need to feel connected to their colleagues, to the company mission, and to themselves. This is also true for our remote workers, whose numbers have increased more than 159% between 2005 and 2017, and of course skyrocketed through the roof because of COVID-19. We don't want them to feel out of step, and remote working may well be here to stay. On May 21st, 2020, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook's chief executive, told workers during a staff meeting that was live streamed on his Facebook page that within a decade, as many as half of the company's more than 48,000 employees would work from home. It's clear that COVID has changed a lot about our lives, and that certainly includes the way most of us work, Zuckerberg said. Coming out of this period, I expect that remote work is going to be a growing trend as well. Twitter and Square, the online payment giant, are both allowing employees to work from home indefinitely. Get ready for big changes. Rituals can work their magic from the office, at home, and everywhere in between. In this next section, I'll share a simple formula I've created that captures the power of rituals at work and serves as a guide to help us create rituals in our own organizations. I hope you'll find it helpful. The three P's of rituals: psychological safety plus purpose equals performance. As I've spent the last year studying the science and stories of workplace rituals, I've come to see that there is a simple equation at work. I've realized that rituals are so impactful because they harness two of the core elements every human needs to succeed: psychological safety, or a sense of belonging, and purpose. When we feel psychologically safe and connected to a purpose, like the firefighters around a table, our performance improves. This is what I call the three P's of rituals. Psychological safety. According to Harvard Business School professor Amy Edmondson, psychological safety is a crucial source of value creation in organizations operating in a complex, changing environment. Sharing rituals at work is the perfect way to help us feel included and thus safe from the threat of social exclusion. Edmondson found that study after study from around the world linked psychological safety to worker engagement, which, as I described earlier, is very good for business. I spoke with Daisy Ajo-Dominguez, a workplace strategist who designs inclusive and equitable workplace and social impact strategies. She told me about a brilliant ritual she uses to create psychological safety with her client teams. Whenever I've taken over a new team or function, I have everyone participate in manager integration exercises, wherein she encourages people to consider the impression she or any manager leaves on a group. She explains, "My favorite is where I come together with my direct reports, and then I leave the room so that they can answer three questions. 1, what do we know about Daisy? 2, what do we wish we knew about Daisy? 3, What do we wish Daisy would know about us? I then come back to the room, review the answers, which are not attributed to anyone in particular unless they want to, and add, compliment, etc. It's a great trust-building exercise that requires a huge level of transparency and vulnerability. This ritual shows psychological safety in action. A lack of psychological safety, as Ogier Dominguez explains, reduces the chances of a free exchange of ideas necessary for innovation and high performance. The challenge is that we can often make others feel excluded or at risk of rejection without realizing it. So her manager integration ritual is the perfect remedy to accidentally excluding people. A study by Catalyst, a preeminent global nonprofit helping women advance in the workplace, talks about the toll that an emotional tax can have on employees. What's an emotional tax? We know it when we feel it. At work, you feel a constant need to protect against what others might say or do, whether they intend to exclude you or not. Throughout the day, you might find yourself bracing for insults, avoiding social interactions and places, or adjusting your appearance to protect against hurtful situations. Put simply, you live each day in a constant state of being on guard. We can all relate to this feeling. For a majority of women and men across racial and ethnic groups, 58% report being highly on guard at work. Rituals help ensure that we're all included. An overwhelming body of research shows that diversity, inclusion, and belonging are not just nice-to-haves for the bottom line. They're crucial. For example, a recent study from the Boston Consulting Group found that diverse companies generate 19% more revenue compared to companies with below-average diversity scores. And in a 2018 report, McKinsey found that companies in the top quartile for gender diversity on their executive teams were 21% more likely to experience above-average profitability than companies in the fourth quartile. For ethnic and cultural diversity, the 27 finding was a 33% likelihood of outperformance. These numbers don't lie. Rituals are the tools to help accelerate that sense of belonging, gathering all kinds of people together. True psychological safety has never mattered more. Purpose. In an oft-quoted 2019 Gallup study on purpose in the workplace, the author writes, "Astute leaders increasingly understand the effect purpose has on business outcomes. But purpose can't be limited to just a slogan. To advance, inspire, and unite a company, purpose must be actualized in the day-to-day work." What better way to tie employees directly to a company's purpose than through rituals? The Gallup author mentions rituals specifically as part of a corporate communication program that should be audited annually. Larry Fink is the influential CEO of BlackRock Financial, who caused quite a stir with his 2019 letter to CEOs when he wrote, "Purpose is not the sole pursuit of profits, but the animating force for achieving them." What a concept, huh? What would it be like to live in a world where profit was not the number one purpose for companies to exist? One of the conversations I have the most with leaders of companies around the world is about the importance of values. I often tell people that they have to get their values off the walls and into the halls for their purpose to come to life. This is one of those evergreen concepts that everyone thinks they've got covered. I can't tell you the number of leaders of major Fortune 500 companies who say to me, "Oh, yes, of course we have values," but then can't tell me what they are. Values won't help anyone unless they're authentic and functional and memorable. Follow these two steps to make sure you have functional values. Step one, develop a set of values that everyone in the company can recite. 3 to 5 is a good number. Step two, use rituals to tie people to your values. According to social psychologist Heidi Grant, rituals help people value their experience more deeply. Voila! In a world where 73% of employees who say they work at
Sample complete. Ready to continue?